Blog Talk Radio.
The coffins are getting a little low here at the Norm at Night Show, but we just keep on bringing it to you. Independent talk radio, beholden to no one, in no one's payroll. And here I am coming to you live the day before the 4th of July, which is America's Independence Day. And I'm going to do something today. I don't know if you're going to like or not like, but I'm going to do it anyway. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and the nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impelled them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed would dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter the former systems of government. The history of the present king of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To provide this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. He has refused his assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent shall be obtained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people, unless those people would relinquish the right of the representative in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasions on the rights of the people. He has refused for a long time after such dissolutions to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers incapable of annihilation have been returned to the people at large for their exercise, the state remaining in the meantime exposed to all dangers of invasion from without and convulsions within. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states for that purpose, obstructing the laws for naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations higher, and raising the conditions of new appropriations of land. He has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount in payment of their salaries. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislatures. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation. For quartering large bodies of armed troops among us, for protecting them by mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states, for cutting off trade with all parts of the world, for imposing taxes on us without our consent, for depriving us in many cases of the benefits of trial by jury, for transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses, for abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government, and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule into these colonies, for taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our government, for suspending our own legislatures, declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burnt our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and totally unworthy the head of state. Death, desolation, and tyranny already begun with the circumstances of cruelty and perfidy scarcely parallel in the most barbarous ages and totally unworthy of a civilized head of state. He has constrained our fellow citizens, taken captive on the high seas to bear arms against their country, to become the executioners of their friends and brethren, or to fail or fall themselves by their hands. He has excited domestic insurrections among us and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless Indian savages, whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked at every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Nor have we been wanting in attentions to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our emigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They, too, have been deaf to the voice of justice and consanguinity. We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them, as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace, friends. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name and authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are abolished from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they will have full power to levy war, conduct peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. The 56 signers of the Declaration were, first of all, Button Gwinnett, Georgia, Lyman Hall, Georgia, George Walton, Georgia, William Hooper, North Carolina, Joseph Hughes, North Carolina, John Penn, North Carolina. Edward Rutledge, South Carolina. Thomas Hayward Jr., South Carolina. Thomas Lynch Jr., South Carolina. Arthur Middleton, South Carolina. John Hancock, Massachusetts. Samuel Chase, Maryland. William Packa, Maryland. Thomas Stone, Maryland. Charles Carroll of Carrollton, Maryland. George Weiss, Virginia. Richard Henry Lee, Virginia. Thomas Jefferson, Virginia. Benjamin Harrison, Virginia. Thomas Nelson, Virginia. Francis Lightfoot Lee, Virginia. Carter Braxton, Virginia. Robert Morris, Pennsylvania. Benjamin Rush, Pennsylvania. Benjamin Franklin, Pennsylvania. John Morton, Pennsylvania. George Clymer, Pennsylvania. James Smith, Pennsylvania. George Taylor, Pennsylvania. James Wilson, Pennsylvania. George Ross, Pennsylvania. Caesar Rodney, Delaware. George Reed, Delaware. Thomas McLean, Delaware. William Floyd, New York. Philip Livingston, New York. Francis Lewis, New York. Lewis Morris, New York. Richard Stockton, New Jersey. John Witherspoon, New Jersey. Francis Hopkinson, New Jersey. John Hart, New Jersey. Abraham Clark, New Jersey. Joshua Bartlett, New Hampshire. William Whipple, New Hampshire. Samuel Adams, Massachusetts. John Adams, Massachusetts. Robert Treat Paine, Massachusetts. Elbridge Gerry, Massachusetts. Stephen Hopkins, Rhode Island. William Ellery, Rhode Island. Roger Sherman, Connecticut. Samuel Huntington, Connecticut. William Williams, Connecticut. Oliver Wolcott, Connecticut. New Hampshire's Martin Thornton. And those were the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence. So that's what I'd like to talk about today, independence. So why doesn't somebody give me a call? 347-945-6713, and let's talk about independence. That was the Declaration of Independence just read. To be perfectly honest, I think that is the first time I've ever read it aloud in its entirety. And I enjoyed that. And I would like to talk about independence. Because that's what happened on July the 4th, 1776. 13 states declared themselves independent of Great Britain. That was a wonderful time. So what did you think of that reading of the Declaration? The Declaration is my all-time favorite revolutionary document. As I've said before on this show, the Constitution was probably a counter-revolution and actually acted against the independence that was declared in that great and honorable declaration. Now, the truth of the matter is that most of the states had already, by that time, created their own Declaration of Independence. There were probably 13 or 14 different declarations floating around. It was not, by any means, I don't think, an original creation of Thomas Jefferson. There's little question that he gave it expression and style. But there were several editions that it went through, and 9175, welcome. Somebody could give me a call and join with me on this conversation. 347-945-6713, and we can have a rousing conversation, I'm sure, about independence and where it comes from. And when was your own personal declaration of independence from your own motherland or fatherland? Yeah, I'm talking about your mother and father. You know, speaking about independence and the people that sought it for 400 years and still don't have it, watching the leader of Sinn Féin shaking hands with Queen Elizabeth. That was a hard time.
Obamacare.
Huh?
I said Obamacare.
Hey, 9240, welcome to the guest room. We are talking about independence. And I just had somebody burst into the studio and said, make sure you talk about Obamacare. First of all, it's not Obamacare. It's the Affordable Health Care Act. And it does prevent some difficulties for someone who believes in independence. We got a bunch of guests in the chat room right now. Why doesn't somebody, I got plenty of lines open, why doesn't one of you give me a call and join with me here? But that must have been quite something for those guys to sign that declaration. Because literally when they signed it, they committed treason. And if they caught him, they would have hung him. You know, I always talk about teachers declaring independence. They can't hang you for it. They can't fire you. I can attest to that. But they can't hang you for it. And if we're going to have independent learning in our schools, then I'm afraid that we're going to have to 9240 just logged out. Oh, well, see you later. I hope you enjoyed your stay here, although you weren't here very long. But when did you declare independence from your parents? When did you declare independence from the people who influence your life? Is independence always the best thing for everybody? I happen to think that it is. What about some of you guys in the chat room? Write down your ideas. I'll get them out here. I always found the Declaration of Independence much more of a revolutionary document, as I said earlier, than the Constitution. The Declaration of Independence was the movement. That's when it came from the bottom up. That's when the people got tired of the English. And now when that queen comes here, we just worship her. well, not this guy, but lots of people just worship her. And to the president's wife, curtsy to the queen, all that nonsense. In 1776, we declared our independence. What does that mean? How many of us have had the independence to do what we wanted to do in our own lives, to find our own element, and to go and do it? Or do we just grin and bear it and just go to work every day and then pretend that, you know, we go off and drive up and down a river or, you know, go out and live in the woods for the summer? But we're back in September. Yes, we are. Is that independence? Is the United States an independent country? Can any country be totally independent? Or are the companies or countries all interdependent? Hey, I got somebody coming in here. Happy 4th of July. You're on with Norm.
Happy 4th of July to you, too.
Well, thank you very much. So when did you declare your independence?
Oh, I'm not exactly sure. It's a process, you know.
It's a process. I like that.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I guess by the time I moved to California, that was probably it.
That long, huh?
Well, yeah, I'm thinking, you know, I mean, you could say, you know, from the time I joined the military, I suppose, but it's hard to say you're independent when you're, you know, in service. That's
when you work.
There's a bit of a contradiction there, right? You know. So, yeah, I don't know.
Just a slave.
Yeah, well, let's, you know, I mean, you were talking about independence from, say, like your parents, you know.
Yes.
Well, that happened over time, but you know how it is when... you know, if you need a place to stay, you know where you're going to go, right? So, I think that's more true today than when we were young, anyhow.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. If I wanted a nice cooked meal, I visited my grandma. You know how that works. I mean, it was good to see her, I mean, and all that, too. But I also knew I was going to get some really good food. So, what can you say?
Yeah.
But anyhow.
713. You know, I bet everybody thought I was going to be about Justice Roberts today. Well, you know, I thought I was, too. But somehow, I just. Hair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the law is constitutional. Get over it and let's get on with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I really found that interesting. You know, see, here's the thing. If you ask me if it's constitutional, my personal opinion is no. But if you ask if it's constitutional based on many of the prior rulings the Supreme Court has made, then it is. And that's the difference the way I interpret the Constitution and the way they do. And you got to know that these guys have ruled on a great many cases that have, how shall we say, distorted, let's say, like the Commerce Clause. I mean, it's unrecognizable now. It is
what
given.
Do you
It is given
the Constitution and read it. It's very recognizable.
They have expanded the Commerce Clause to the point where the government has near unlimited power. And that is, and in the words of Justice Scalia, they have unlimited, nearly unlimited power. So that was my expectation, that it would win on that clause alone. But this other thing with the tax and that came out of the woodwork. I did not expect that. And, of course, I don't think anyone expected Roberts to turn the tide.
Yeah, that was quite a shocker. What do you think out there, folks? 347-945-6713. Give us a call. Join with Nicole and me.
Yeah. So anyway, I have to say that over the past few days, the disinformation that is flooding the internet is just incredible. It's obvious to me that most people, especially the opposition, having the vaguest idea what's in the ACA. They just don't know.
One of the reasons that's true is the absolute number of 35 million uninsured people sounds like a lot of people. But
yeah,
it's not.
Well, I thought the number was bigger than that. Isn't it more like 48, 49 million or something of that sort?
I don't know. Well, there's almost 400 million people in the country.
Well,
I mean, one of the problems is everybody's got health insurance, and they think they've scrambled and killed to get it, and they're afraid this is going to ruin that.
Yeah, well, see, there's an unfortunate aspect of it that a lot of people are going to, regardless of what, is out there, a great many people are going to fall through the cracks. They are not going to get this. And it's, it's just the way things are. I'll give you an example. Okay. A couple years ago, the federal government offered California a deal. And they said, you have 1.25 million children who have no health insurance. And the deal was this. If within the next 6 months you can sign up, I think it was 375 million kids who are perfectly eligible, not to illegal aliens, whatever. They said, if you can sign those kids up, we'll give you this enormous grant of money. I forget, it was like $200 million or something. So the state tried everything they could to sign up all these kids, get in touch with parents and whatever. And they could only get $175 million. And a lot of it was the parents were indifferent. I mean, they just, it was, I don't know what to say about it. It's conceivable
the cold hard facts is, you don't show up at a hospital emergency room with an insurance card, you don't get in.
Yeah, well, I mean, you
all
get...
There's just... Life is just so fragile. It's just... All this insurance stuff is just another attempt to make it less fragile and more permanent.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's face it, if you show up in an emergency room with a gunshot wound, you're going to get treated. everybody knows that you probably don't have insurance and all the rest of that, but you're going to be treated. They will save your life the same way they would treat anyone else. You know, that's how it goes. On the other hand, there are people who show up there, you know, particularly psychiatric patients, people with, you know, having problems with drugs and whatever.
Uh-huh.
Those people, they just sedate them. They strap them to a gurney, and they wait it out. There's no follow-up care, no nothing. As soon as you're calm enough to be released, boom, you're out the door, you know. Now, they may recommend, you know, whatever services are available in your community, but for the most, you know, but, you know, that's not going to happen. They're going to go out and look for more drugs or whatever. So, you know, let's face it, if you, you know, they aren't obligated to do the whole thing. I mean, you know, you have a heart attack, you know, are they going to do every single test that's available? Probably not. If they can solve your heart attack with a baby aspirin, that's what they're going to do. So, you know, this whole thing about, you know, people just walking in and getting, you know, first-class health care, nah, you know, that's a rare event, you know. You know, the weird thing that I can't figure out is, see, you know, well, remember where I lived, you know, in Buffalo. You know,
right.
The Meyer Hospital was like 3-4 blocks away, right?
Right, right on Riders.
Yeah, and if you needed whatever you needed, you know, I remember I would just walk over there, and then there was an emergency room, but then there was a walk-in.
Right,
and
there was
then
a walk-in.
It said walk-in. And you just sat down there, and then they did whatever they were going to do. I mean, it was not an emergency.
You know what?
You,
that's a very good point. There's few.
You know,
in fact, I don't know how many of those county hospitals like that exist anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I know we don't have one here. You know.
I don't know. Well, you know, actually, there are some walk-in clinics out on Route 3.
Oh, yeah, we do have, I think we have 4 of those, but that's down from, we used to have 10 of them, you know. They keep cutting that.
So what are we supposed to do?
What, as far as
the Affordable Health Care Act, I think it's going to work.
Yeah, here's the thing. You know, I'm not all that crazy about the mandate, but the as I look over the bill.
Okay, well, I gotta ask this. You have health insurance, right?
At the moment, no, I don't.
You don't.
I let it go because it was practically worthless.
Are you gonna get some?
Yeah, sure. 2014.
Oh my God. Oh, touche.
Yeah, no, I used to have the, you know, it was a very high deductible policy, which cost about half of what I would have paid for a better policy. But
right.
But it didn't pay for anything. I mean, you know, prescriptions, normal visits, this, that. And I had a 30% copay on any, you know, like medical procedures. Or if it was like a big operation or something, it was still 30% with a max copay of $30,000. So I looked at this and I said, you know, the only benefit is if I have like a big, you know, a heart attack or a cancer or something like that.
Well, it's a cancer.
Everything else is ridiculous, you know. Well, here's my idea was this.
Stuff that you got to have it for.
Yeah, well, since I'm already paying for all the out-of-pocket stuff, prescriptions, this, that, whatever, you know, what the hell's the point? They're not going to cover any of that, which is mostly what I would need, you know. So it's only covering the big event, you know, which is the least likely event, okay. So it just seemed to me like it wasn't a very good deal, and if I did have a big issue, I can, you know, depending on how big it is, I could probably pay for it myself. And that's the way I rationed it out today, you know.
Okay, so you pay for it yourself.
That's the way it is, yeah. Now, we have these private clinics here. They're called Med7 Emergency Centers.
Uh-huh.
And I've got one right up the street from me. And I can go up there and see a doctor anytime I want. Walk right in. So, and they do x-rays. They, you know, they have deals for...
Right, so if your throat hurts, you go up there and see if you have strep throat.
I can do that, yes, you know. So pretty much that clinic can do a good portion of what I probably would need. And the prices are reasonable, so, yeah. So I figured, hey, I got this. That's where I'm going to work. You know, this is where I'm going to go.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, I mean, it's not the greatest thing in the world, but it's what I have, and I can afford it, so that's where I'm going, you know. Now, as far as, you know, the ACA, there's an awful lot in there that is to my advantage, you know.
Right, and you're like all those other stupid, I didn't say the word stupid. I withdraw that word.
Mm. Well, you know.
And I don't understand why people oppose the law.
Yeah, it seems like, here's the thing. If you have a job that provides health insurance, why the hell should you care? Now,
exactly.
Now, it is possible because there are some tax levies in there that go to the pharmaceuticals and the hospitals and the medical device makers. But they're not really that big, you know. So you may look at this and say, oh, well, this is going to drive up the cost of my health care. Well, dude, your health care goes up 5 to 10% every freaking year.
You know? I mean, the other day, wouldn't it be if the government, and I guess this is the idea, if the government self-insured the country, it would be cheaper for everyone.
Yeah, most likely. So,
and
but even
the only problem is the insurance companies would all go out of business.
Well, yeah. But see, here's the thing. The thing with the ACA is this, that, you know, the government isn't involved at all in my decision-making. They're going to give me the subsidy to buy the insurance. I pick the company. I pick the policy. And except for the subsidy, they have no involvement whatsoever. I mean...
Well, I know, but my argument is the government should self-insure the country and then tax everyone for medical care.
Oh, well, you're talking more along the lines of a... Medicare for everyone, or something similar, anyway.
Exactly. The problem is not everybody. All everybody worries about is insurance. Forget insurance. Let the government self-insure the country, and deal where the real problem lies.
Yeah. Well, see, now
we have a supply of doctors, and with the cost of what they charge.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, you've got to remember, too, that there are a good number of people who have what they like to call Cadillac plans or whatever. Those people have exceptional insurance. I mean, it's better than what the average person has. And they don't want to lose that, you know.
But everybody can have that insurance if there are no insurance companies.
Yes, yes. Yeah, well, you know, I would say there are things, let's say, like Canadian health care, which everyone talks about as socialized medicine, and that they wait in long lines in this. And you know, I still have friends in Canada, and they say that's not exactly true. The only thing that they don't have in many of the provinces, they will have a shortage of, like, you know, CAT scans and MRIs, and, you know, they don't have all the as much equipment as we do. So, yes, if you need an MRI, you will probably wait longer because they've only got one in your county or something of that sort, you know.
If we can build tanks and drones, we can build MRI machines.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
No, it's just become unbearable. Hey, somebody else come in here and join the phone conversation. 347-945-6713. I know you're out there every week because I see the stats. Just sit out there and listen to the cults in me. They tell me it's entertaining.
Yeah, we'll try to be entertaining. But
so what are you doing for the 4th of July?
We usually do a little thing out on the street here, you know, because I'm on a cul-de-sac. It's when this circle thing, right? So we do a collective sharing of, you know, fireworks. Everybody enjoys everyone else's stuff. I'm probably just going to cook up some burgers and corn on the cob. I got that already, too. And, what's that?
Right. Corn on the cob tonight because
my poor wife
has to work tomorrow.
Yeah, they're like, I'm getting 5 ears for a buck, so, like, hey.
Right, that's what it was here, actually.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
$10 for $2.
Mm-hmm. So we do this other thing. It's like a, everybody gets little toy or model cars.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you know what a Piccolo Pete is? It's a firework. It has a little base, and you light it, and it shoots out, and it has this really loud whistle.
Okay, yes, all right, I know what you mean.
Okay, what you do is you get your
it's
little model car.
Pete?
What's that? They're called
it's
Piccolo
called
Pete.
Piccolo Pete?
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, you get these things, and you get some duct tape or whatever, and you tape about 10 to 20 of them on the back of your little car, and you kind of wrap all the wicks up. You light them all at once and watch your car go shooting down the street. And it's a contest to see whose car will go the furthest.
Okay.
And we've been doing this for a long time. So I've never won, but, you know. But I get
so
close
my wife,
occasionally.
Yeah, my wife's office is doing a big big computer conversion tomorrow.
Oh.
They're moving from one system to one next. They call it Independence Day.
Oh, wow.
And so it has a wider user base. The old system, you know, there was the high priest who did everything, and they need to get, they're getting rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's Independence Day tomorrow.
So she has to go in for that, or
The whole office will be there because they're going live tomorrow. For the last week and a half, they've been doing all kinds of testing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they're turning it on live tomorrow.
Hey, yeah, you'd think they'd do that on a weekend or something.
Well, you know, when they're having a picnic, and they'll they'll go up on the roof and watch DC fireworks.
Oh, well, that's probably, yeah, that's cool. Well, that sounds much better than it did.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care to go anywhere near DC on fireworks day because of the giant crowds that are all there.
Uh-huh. Oh, so you're...
I don't care. I went in 1976. I did go that year.
Mm-hmm.
The bicentennial.
Yeah. Well, we have a couple of, you know, exhibitions. They're all around here. What's that?
You have a parade?
No parades. Let me think. I think the baseball park, the River Cats, they'd usually do one. That's right across from the old town. Old Sacramento, they call it, which looks like an old Western town, like straight out of the 1870s, you know. And then Cal Expo is where they have the state fair and the racetrack, so they do a big exposition there. And there's a couple other. There's one over at the football field at the high school. They do one there too. That one I can see. If I want to climb up on the roof, I can see that one. Now they're going to do they're going to allow people to do fireworks on New Year's Eve. So that's kind of a thing. They've wanted to do that for a long time. So now we're going to have that again. So
yeah,
which is okay.
Yeah, and then February is going to be the month of fingerless boys.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about any place fireworks are legal, people get hurt.
Yeah. Somehow the illegal stuff gets down here. I don't know how, you know, because unless they just hide it in with the legal stuff when they ship it over from China. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I can't remember the last time I saw, you know, like firecrackers and all the stuff we used to have.
Oh, and you know, and lady fingers and
yeah,
all the
Roman candles.
Yeah.
Don't have those either. Mm-hmm.
And pinwheels were always fun.
Yeah. So,
you know, not last year but the year before. The guy whose farm I lived on, he invited Carol and I and all the kids to come to their 4th of July party on this big farm.
Mm-hmm.
They put on a fireworks display as good as any I've seen anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It was astounding.
Oh.
I'm surprised they didn't cook somebody or something.
Yeah.
So the fire's out in Colorado?
I don't think so. I think they may have contained it better, but that was, I mean, I wanted
Hi, Kevin.
I mean, those neighborhoods, some of them look just like mine. I mean, the same style houses, the streets, the whole works. And you watch those fires just boom, 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 taking out these.
Yeah, speaking of independence, my two daughters have declared their, well, my one daughter for sure has declared her independence. She just stopped in and she just left. She's going back to her apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And then my daughter Margaret refused to come home after graduating from college.
Oh, oh.
But she's not quite independent yet.
Oh, I see. Yeah, well, until they get the job and a couple of paychecks, you know, takes a while.
Yeah, I know, I know. Actually, speaking of the last, I may have a job teaching chess.
Oh, hmm.
You know, those city programs, you know, that everybody does now.
Uh-huh.
You know, make kids smart, teach them how to think, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I got an opportunity to, and we got to talk about it this week. And then I'd have to have another job because none of these jobs pay, you know, there's
money.
No more one-job paychecks.
Yeah, yeah, so.
It's really awful.
Yeah.
Now I'm battling with Virginia about the unemployment. It's just a nightmare.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you... Oh, right, because teachers have a... Don't you... a lot of them have a special thing where they can't do it when they're over the summer.
Well, I was a 12-month employee. The problem is how the federal extensions apply.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They're really not very nice in Virginia.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, I did mine. I mean, it extended over a 3-year period. But I did get, you know, eventually get the 99 weeks, you know, the maximum.
Well, I'm trying.
Hmm.
You know, and if things don't work out, I just may go on Social Security.
Oh. Yeah, well, I guess if you have to. I mean, I'm probably going to do the early one, too, at age 62. But, you know, if you don't have to do it, you know, obviously it's beneficial to, you know, delay it as long as
you can. You know, I've heard arguments pro and con for that. Because, you know, even if you make too much money, you don't lose the money. They give it to you later.
Yeah. Well, the other two is,
you know. It's like if I got Social Security in September and then I was making, as soon as I went over $14,000 in money made.
Mm-hmm.
I got to start giving them $1 back for every $2 I make.
Right, right. Yeah,
but
I know.
The money doesn't just disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 5 years later, the money I didn't get, they give to me, and the check's bigger until you get all the money.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go back down to the regular rate.
Yeah, yeah. So
I just found that out. I didn't know it.
Yeah, for me now, you know, once, you know, now that I'm 59 and a half or older, you know, of course I can withdraw from my
That's
IRA.
Right.
You know, so that money, you know, now, yeah, I'm set for till whenever. That's not going to be an issue at all, you know, because I still have the pension, too. So, you know, that I can do that. And the thing is about being, you know, even when you're collecting early, you know, the Social Security is tax exempt. So once I start pulling that in, it's like a, you know, and, you know, I looked at the, the actuary tables, you know, So you look to see how long you're expected to live, and then you see how much money you're going to get. And I break even. You know,
calculations.
Yeah. Well, you know. Well, it's something to look at. You know. I mean,
there's no question about it, and I think I have to live to 85. Make it worth waiting.
Yeah. So, yeah, for me,
and even still, for the extra money I get, once you get in your upper 80s, what do you do?
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of it I base on, you know, like my father, and say, well, we had similar lifestyles, same bad habits. He made it to 78. So I can expect about the same.
Yeah, I don't think anybody and nobody from my father's side died before 85.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but,
see, now...
You know, I got to think about it hard now.
Yeah.
I wasn't even going to worry about it until the unemployment ran out, but now I got to figure out how that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, happy 4th of July. Thanks for calling.
Happy Independence Day to you, too.
I'm sorry?
I say happy Independence Day to you, too.
Yeah, and hey, good luck with the health care gamble, the Medicare.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. This is a thing. It's there. It's probably going to not be repealed in any way, and...
Well, I'll tell you, if it started going, I'd sure get health care fast before it's gone.
Yeah. So.
Because if it goes, the previous conditions will go too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that is, you know, an unfortunate part. I mean, I think there are only, 60,000 people who are in that high-risk pool. And part of that is that it's way expensive. You know, they'll take you on, but at the same time, they're charging you an awful lot of money to be in there.
Yeah, but anyway, I got to go here.
Okay, guys.
And we'll come and we'll be here next week.
All righty.
Hang on. Closing down Norm at Night.
Okay, man. And take care.
Norm at Night. I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, man. Good night. Bye-bye.
We're out.